From the Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
Back now to Massachusetts, where it's late, and Stan Tennant. Stan, here's somebody apparently agreeing with you right on. No yogi will impart secret methods to an immoral man. Any attempt at meditation at this level by the unethical leads to insanity.
I agree. Well, I don't know how strongly to put it, but the tendency, I don't know what it leads to. If you force things, you get into trouble. Humility leads to being able to be open to this, and it's not a humility that you can put on as a persona. It has to, you have to really feel like you're insignificant in the face of the infinite. And not, most of us can't do that all the time.
Right. I agree.
But we can all strive for it. And in fact, the teachings are here that if you are working in that direction, these understandings will open to you in proportion to the work you've done. And so this is a self-opening system. It's a self-organizing system.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how life works. And, you know, we are self-aware creatures. We refer to ourselves. We exist in a chain of being. Which is another form of self-referential system.
Okay, what do you say to somebody like Dan and Quincy who writes that you said you didn't want to be a hypocrite, but, says Dan, you sure do sound like a heretic?
Well, if you understand what I'm saying in an overly simplistic way, then it's very easy to mistake this for far worse than heresy. There are a number of people out in the world who are picked up on some of this work and are using it for very, very negative purposes, and it's pretty scary what they're doing. That's an occupational hazard. My work has been reviewed by a number of personal friends who happen to be Orthodox rabbis. They would not call me the most pious or most religious person. I'm certainly not.
What reaction did you get?
Well, it depends on how long people are willing to listen. As you noticed with the audience tonight, the first hour you have to get through because it's very hard, and this takes a kind of turn in perspective, and there's really no way to get all the facts on the table all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So people who come upon this casually take one look at it and respond according to their past experiences. If they've been open to Kabbalistic ideas, they may listen more. If they've been closed, they walk away. But anyone who has sat down with this for more than a few hours, you know, it doesn't take more than a day or so, but certainly more than a few hours,
mm-hmm.
and has gone through the references and has checked the models and checked the text and seen what this applies to, people's faces literally flush over.
Sure.
People really are stunned. You have to be a little up to speed on the material to realize what a breakthrough this is. And it's a breakthrough. It's not the finished work. This is just a breakthrough. But this perspective, in its pursuit, and validated and refined, can be enormously healing. I wanted to, before the break, there was something I wanted to pass on to the audience because it's really important to me.
Yes.
I see our situation in the world we live in as repeated over and over again throughout the universe, throughout the natural world. And I'm not the first to say, we can look at our own body and use how our body is assembled and how it works as a way of seeing how the world could or should or might work. Our body has many different organs. They're different. If my heart cells get in my liver, they're going to die or hurt my liver. But all these different organs are different projections, different expressions of the same central DNA. And they all have to live in harmony and mutual respect for me to live. And they're all dependent and interdependent on each other.
Yes.
I see Judaism, Christianity, and Islam as a triplet. And I'll explain that in a minute. And I see the Abrahamic faiths as, again, dependent on the other faiths in the world, and that they're all stepping stones coming from very diverse different directions, but all heading towards the same center. Now, if we look at Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, we find something stupendous. What I found in the text of Genesis was a series of geometric snapshots of universal organizing processes, like embryological processes, like the hero's journey, like descriptions of many sacred processes in many traditions. All snapshots. And these snapshots come in threes. Now, in the Christian world, I assume people would connect this with the idea of the Trinity. In Judaism, it could be connected with the idea of the three patriarchs and their corresponding teachings in Islam and in other related traditions as well. Unity comes in threes. That's because it takes 3 points to define a circle, and the circle is the first unity beyond the point in mathematical philosophy. Well, what are the three cycles, circles, points in the Abrahamic system? Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are the three biggies. And each of them has its own expression of the same central covenant. The Jewish expression of the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant of the law, of the Torah, of logical thought, intellectual work, Talmudic discourse and discussion, the maintenance of the Torah text exact and intact through the centuries. The Christian covenant, I don't have to stereotype these, but each of these is far more than this little corner I'm using. The Christian covenant is primarily the covenant of the heart, caring and nurturing and nourishing and feeling and passion and compassion. And Islam literally means to submit to Allah, to let go, to release. Mm-hmm. If you combine in your life those three principles, really understand and know something clearly in your mind, work really hard for it, passionately embrace it, and then let go. That's what we call the manifesting principle. That's how a child is born. That's how an invention is born. That's how a miracle is born. That's how anything comes into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And every faith and every tradition will teach you a variety, a version of that story. So I see the three Western faiths as a part of a cycle, with each of our different cultural contributions contributing a different part, a different vital organ to the body politic. And if we can not become each other, because we need to maintain, my liver and my heart have to stay different for me to live, but we need to be able to respect each other and see our common core and coordinate our activities and our approaches. And if we bring in the Hebrew Bible and Christian passion and compassion and Islamic letting go and surrender into all of our three contexts, because my heart and my liver do take the same fuel, they do share the same blood, if we bring these principles into each of our different cultural contexts and embody them all together, then we have the secret that's being expressed here, the means of manifesting anything, the means of connecting consciousness to physicality, the means by which the rabbis teach that a pious person has to be aware of God at all times. And then they ask, how can you do that? And the answer is, be aware of the motions of your hands, because of the ease of the motions of your hand. If you're aware of how your hand in principle projects your conscious will into the physical consensus world, then in principle you have an inkling, a sense of how all there is being projected from the transcendent.
All right. Are you ready for some calls?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. First time caller line, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Hi.
Yes. Hi, thank you. This is Alan in Eugene, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Oh, on KPNW. Art, thanks again. I've listened for a long time, and it's the first time I've been able to get through. Someday I hope to get to bed before 2 in the morning. But this kind of got me excited because over the last 30, 35 years or that long ago, growing up with my father, he was kind of a blue-collar mystic, and I got exposed to the works of Manly Hall and Edgar Cayce. So this idea of coding in the Bible and other sacred texts has been around for me for a long time, but I've been lazy about it. I didn't want to really study it myself, but I knew there was something there and was hoping to learn more about it. So I want to thank Mr. Tenen.
Well, do you agree with me that if there is a coding, and that does not seem to be in any dispute right now, that coding would be more profound than some sort of Edgar Cayce-like prophetic laydown of what the future is to be?
Yes, I'd say absolutely. I think they both can be there, but I think this is much more profound.
I hope I'm not misstating this, but my understanding is that there's a phrase in the Christian world, it's better to give someone a fishing pole than a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish would, of course, be the prophecy per se. The fishing pole is the ability of humans to reach that state in the future.
An understanding. It's a way to experience what really is written.
That's right.
Okay, I'm pretty clear on that. Wild card line, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
Oh, this is Rita. I'm in Seattle.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, and I'm listening to you on Coma.
Right, right.
Mr. Tennant?
Yes?
What you're saying is quite profound, so much so that I have so much to say, and I know I can't, so I'll try to be as succinct as possible.
You can send us email.
I agree with you about symbolism. In fact, I thought about that the other day. I says, I know this book is saying something, you know, in terms of the Bible. I study Tarot, and I use the Kabbalah system for Tarot, and it's very profound with reading cards for people. People such as Paul Foster and Aleister Crowley and different people like that who've written using that system. You know, the Tree of Life and the Paths, the Tree of Paths. What did you say?
It's very evocative. If you're a talented person, these are good tools.
Yes. Also, I agree with you that that one should not delve into the experience of creation unless one within themselves something says, okay, yes, you're ready for this, go for this, whether someone tells them or not. I think they're in the Bible, I think in Hebrews, it says something about all the knowledge that you need will be within you. When you're born, you already have this knowledge. And if we use the self-monitoring, we will know that we are not ready to experience creation. Because I've had something similar to that, and I had to pull myself back.
So and you'll also know if you honor when you're not ready, then you'll also know if and when you are ready.
Yes. And the last thing, I agree that the Western religions, the major Western religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, bring about, you know, the use of those levels of, how should I say, of being, such as, you know, the intellect, the heart, compassion, surrender, etc. I also think that the other religions bring in another level of being that help to unify all of these, and that is reverence, particularly for nature, for the earth, and for others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I
agree with you. What I'm saying with regard to the three Western faiths is also true with regard to the relationship of all the faiths, that we're all vital organs of the body politic.
Here's, I think, an important question, Stan. Let's see how you deal with it. As a student of physics, this comes from Steve in Omaha, I'm quite familiar with statistical methods. They show up in thermodynamics and quantum theory. These biblical skip patterns found by algorithms in computers would be much more statistically convincing if the same computer algorithms had been applied to War and Peace, the New York Times,
that's been done.
The New York Times, or more appropriately, ancient Hebrew texts other than the Bible.
This has all been done before science allowed it to be published
with,
and insisted on it.
With what result?
The result is that the Torah text is unique. The only other text that I believe has shown similar qualities, and no one has done the work, and the fellow who's doing it was assassinated, unfortunately, is in the Quran. The tests that Steve is asking about are the tests that any prudent statistician would do before he'd risk his reputation on this sort of thing.
Sure.
They did that. It was not only was it done independently by the authors, but it was confirmed by a fellow who used to work for the Defense Department as a mathematician. He's fairly well known, but I don't want to use his name. And it's also been confirmed by a number of independent researchers. There are some people who are questioning some aspects of the methodology, but even if you throw out all the questionable parts, what remains is incredibly robust and has been cross-checked. And not only that, but we have explanations that for how this could come about. So this isn't something that... This is not necessarily a miracle per se, other than all of life's a miracle.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Tennant. Hello.
By the way, if Steve needs more information, he should check with us via email.
All right.
Can I give the email address?
You may in a moment. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Tennant.
Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Yes, sir.
Stan, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. I have several tape radio shows of you talking points of comparison with Richard Hoagland.
Oh, yes.
Who I'm currently working with. And although I don't completely grasp all the mathematical inferences involved, I'm nevertheless fascinated with how close and related your, you know, Meru model is with Richard's hyperdimensional model.
The mark of consciousness is the same throughout the universe, and so is hyperdimensional physics.
In you know, particular, the, you know, D&M pyramid.
Yes.
I, by the way, I hope Art will let you talk about your introductory video, the Geometric Metaphors of Life.
Right. Well, we'll actually have a short sampler that's only a half hour.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to that right now, as a matter of fact. So, Stan, this is a good time. You have a video, and apparently you have a website, which we are linked to, and an email address.
Let's give people the information. I work full-time for a nonprofit educational foundation. We're a 501c3,
right.
So people can get tax deductions if they qualify.
Right.
Our full address for people to write and get a packet of information, introductory materials, is Meru Foundation, that's M-E-R-U, Post Office Box 503, and that's in Sharon, Sharon, Massachusetts, MA, 02067. We're actually about halfway between Boston and Providence.
Okay.
The email address for getting in touch with us is MERU, Arabic numeral 1, just an ordinary 1, no spaces, @ WELL.com. That's Meru1@well.com. And the website is www.meru.org.
All right. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back. There'll be more. From the high desert, this is CBC. I'm Art Bell. Interesting stuff, huh? Get it, it will take your breath away.
West of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Good morning. My guest is Stan Tennant. I'm Art Bell. We're talking about a code in the Bible. Not one that some would suggest predicts things as Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce would have, but a code that would allow you to experience what was written, or maybe I should say what is. Or should I say, what will be again? I've got a question for Stan coming up that I think you'll enjoy. Hi, Art. Does Stan see any type of timelines when this code is used? How long would he say is left to get on the right path? I wonder if it does say that. If Stan is that far along with the interpretation of what he thinks he's found. Anyway, back to him in a moment. I have, as you know, written a book. It's called The Quickening. And it documents very carefully, painstakingly even, a process that we are in right now. And it is an interesting way to put it, a process that we are in right now. One that I believe we may have been through before. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a talk show host. But in The Quickening, I document what's going on in every area of human endeavor right now, and I propose, no, I prove, that we are in a quickening, an exponentially increasing pace of human events in every single category that you can mention, and I touch on just about each one of them in there. This may be, I'm not sure yet, it may be the last week that I'm going to do autographed first edition copies of The Quickening. So if you want one, the number to call right now, and you had better get through, because I'm telling you, we're coming down the home trail here. It's 1-800-864-7991. That's 1-800-864-7991. The name of the book is The Quick.
Back to the best of Art Bell.
Going back now to Stan Tenen. Stan,
mm-hmm.
I have concluded that we are in a kind of an interesting period at the moment,
mm-hmm.
In which we appear to be moving faster and faster toward an event, one which I cannot know and do not know, but some sort of event, spiritual, I suspect in nature, but I'm not certain. We're racing toward it, and I have a feeling it has occurred many times before and will occur many times again. And I wonder, in concert with the facts that I got here, whether you see anything yet that would indicate that, that would indicate that we have been here before and will be here again as a civilization. Does that make any sense?
It could. One of the beauties of human consciousness is that we do get to make some choices as to what we perceive, depending on what paths we choose to take.
Yes.
So for some people, they will perceive something akin to what you said, I would guess. Like yourself, I'm not a prophet, and I don't like to make these predictions. And also, I'd like to point out that the Torah tradition claims that one shouldn't go to soothsayers. One acts and trusts
right.
God and doesn't look for the best times, necessarily.
That's right.
On the other hand, it's perfectly okay to study cycles, and particularly the cycles of nature. That's, after all we have to study. And there are things that are taught conventionally and traditionally, and there are also some implications from this research. The traditional teachings are that the messianic cycle takes 6,000 years, and then there's 1,000 years of messianic age.
Yes.
And so if you use the Hebrew calendar, we're in 57, I think, at the moment. And so there's about 242 or 243 years to go.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is something rather strange about the year coincidence, which no one seems to have noticed. The Bible historians have debated as to what the true date of the founder of Christianity is, what the real birth date is, and some have said that it's, you know, maybe 2, 4, 6 years before 0 year in the common era.
Mm-hmm.
And the question comes out, didn't these people know what year it was, and what calendar were they using? Well, if they did know what year it was, and if they were using the Hebrew calendar, then they could well have adjusted the historical date to come out to be 2000, because 2000 is a significant date on the Hebrew calendar, which no one seems to have noticed. 5760 is, in fact, a number that you can get by multiplying out 20 times 288. Now, 20 is a generational number, means a full cycle, and 288 is the traditional number of sparks used to create the world in the Kabbalistic teachings. So you could say that the year 2000, 5760 on the Hebrew calendar, 1421 on the Muslim calendar, is a nodal point of some sort that's
yes.
pointed to in tradition. That's the traditional teaching. I've noticed something that I'm sure the audience has noticed too if they think about it. The height of our adventures in space until perhaps recently was our landing on the moon and what happened around the early 70s a few years back.
Right.
That paralleled the height in consciousness experimentation. I believe that there is a link between, at a cultural level, not in any one person, the internal understanding we have of ourselves, our ability to meditate, the proper use of certain psychedelics possibly, and the external experiences we have in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We experience ourselves as reaching farther into outer space in direct proportion to our experiencing ourselves as we reach farther into inner space.
Mm.
So that inside-outside parallel is what the ego death and rebirth experience is all about. That's what the hero's journey is all about. And so that's part of this map. I've also noticed that messianic theories and theories about the end of the world usually pretty much coincide with the expected lifespan of the people preaching the theories, and that people have a tendency to self-fulfill these theories. And so you get David Koresh-type situations or Heaven's Gate-type situations.
You bet.
But
let us now move back to the situation on Mars, which seems fairly convincing. We didn't put all that there, did we?
Well, look, if you find the same stuff on Mars as you find on Earth, and so in a general sense we are, then you can only come to one of a few conclusions. Either
yes,
we are them, or they are us,
yes,
or somebody visited both places. Right?
Right.
Either that or it's a fantastic coincidence, and we're going to put that aside because the odds are...
I think the odds are way against that.
Now, then you got to ask when. Well, the when becomes very sticky when you're dealing with this kind of knowledge of consciousness. If we're dealing with a science of consciousness that relates internal conscious states to the external physical world, then we're also dealing with the ability to... I don't know how to say this in a simple way in the time remaining, but to move in time. That to move in consciousness is not just to move in space, it's also to move in time.
What happens when you take what you're doing now, your work now, and you look at Giza?
Well, in fact, you put your finger on it. I was almost trying to avoid that. If you discuss the initiatory stories regarding the pyramids of Giza,
yes.
One, you find that the pyramid is, in fact, the model of its own structure. The structure of the crystal of limestone, calcite, calcium carbonate, has the same natural cleavage angles as the internal buttress angles, the apex angles, the fundamental construction angles of the Cheops pyramid mimic its own crystal structure.
That's
of
right.
The material it's made of.
Mm-hmm.
That means it potentially can be self-resonant in some sense. I'm not saying this is so, I'm saying this is potentially so.
Mm-hmm.
Buckminster Fuller shows a transition in the calcite molecule from an octahedral to pentagonal packing state, which he says produces a gravitational differential. If you could coherently add up gravitational displacements and incoherently add the much, much stronger electrostatic binding forces in some sort of resonant structure, and if that structure were also resonantly coupled to the Earth's surface, as the Giza Pyramid is,
mm-hmm.
It is possible, without breaking known laws of physics, to produce a gravitational pulse, which would also produce an experience of time displacement. That's possible using ordinary physics. Now, we don't think have enough time remaining to go into it, other than to say that the geometry by which this is possible seems to be the same as the geometry in the text of Genesis.
All right. If anybody doubts the code basis of what we are discussing here, listen to this, folks. The code was discovered by Dr. Eli Rips, yes,
right.
One of the world's leading experts in group theory, a field of mathematics that underlies quantum physics. It has been confirmed by famous mathematicians at Harvard, Yale, and Hebrew University.
I've spoken to some of them personally, and that's true.
It has been replicated by a senior codebreaker at the U.S. Department of Defense. It has been passed now, three levels of a secular peer review at a leading U.S. math journal. So there seems to be no argument whatsoever about the code.
There is some minor argument about the methodology in terms of some of the codes that have lower statistical probability of being true.
Uh-huh.
But the most robust codes and the simplest cases, which predominate, there is no question.
All right, back to the lines. First time caller line, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
This is Christy in Bellingham.
Yes.
And I feel that I've had like a paradise experience to where I've attained that level. And I feel that it's all a matter of going within and wanting it intensely enough to achieve it. And I didn't do I guess it's some sort of meditation, but a lot of it I got from reading A Course in Miracles.
There are many gates to this experience. You do not have to be a rocket scientist, and you don't have to go through the gate that I went through to see the patterns.
In other words, many paths. However,
the only qualification is that you intend to be an intellectually and emotionally honest person. If you can strive for that, then you qualify, and if the time is right for you, then you can have whatever experience is appropriate to you. The benefit of the experience that's written down letter by letter, the exercises in the text, is that it's repeatable. Your personal experience is based on your personal path. Someone else may not be able to do that, and you couldn't describe it to them.
And she may not know how she got there or how to get there again.
That's right. That's the feeling path. The thinking path requires you to keep a record that someone else can retrace.
I've got
you. That's the textual path.
I've got you. All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dan in Virginia.
Yes, sir.
This is really fascinating. By the way, Art ordered your book, and I hope you get a chance to autograph it.
if you have ordered it, you will get an autographed copy.
Thank you. What I find is that I believe Stan has put his fingers on a universal code, and the crop circles are symbols.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That would tie in with what his code is describing, and this is a universal code that can be applied to, the hieroglyphics, in Egypt, and all the different areas, different pyramids around the world. All these crop circles, they're finding these things are in all the ancient discoveries that are written in text and on walls and everything else.
All right, well, let us ask about that.
These are universal patterns. I wouldn't use the crop circles to confirm the Bible, but on the other hand, I see no reason why they shouldn't be consistent universal patterns. That's what universal means.
They are fractal in nature, I have been told.
Well, there are some fractal patterns in the crop circles. The text itself is not fractal per se, because that's probably not the most compact coding system, but it definitely has fractal and recursive properties, and there are fine distinctions between those terms.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Hi.
Hello. Hi. I have some information for you. This is Dan from Ocean Park, Washington?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And first, I heard about this on the Discovery Channel about 5 years ago, and I tried to contact the gentleman who was using his computer to prove these codes. His name is Moshe Katz, K-A-T-Z. He used to work for the Technion Laboratories in Israel. I don't know if he still does. And he's written two software programs. Should I give you this information?
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, it
is readily available.
Okay. It would. Why don't you send it to him in email?
Yeah. There are websites. I have this information. There are websites that have the codes material. At
Futura.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, it's from Torasoft Company, and he has Search 386 Professional and Bible Search.
Yeah, I have the software.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. There are a couple of other people who've written books on this. One is Grant Jeffrey.
That's mostly based on a misuse of the statistical material. That's not the same thing as the peer-reviewed work.
All right.
There's a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon now, and so they're finding, Jesus' name and Buddha's name and Shoah and Hitler. And, it's everybody who has an axe to grind has gone and searched around until they can find a justification for some code. But the peer-reviewed material that was published in Statistical Science is at a different caliber.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Tenen. Hi.
Hi. I successfully use lucid dreams to remember past lives and to do yoga. And because, well, lucid dreams are dreams in which I know I'm dreaming when I'm dreaming. And because
yes.
feelings and sensations are exaggerated in dreams, I think your techniques can be amplified in lucid dreams, so I want to give two suggestions on
that
how people
right.
can have lucid dreams. The first suggestion is I fall asleep listening to the radio and hear the radio in my sleep, and I pick a commercial that I hear sometimes and practice thinking every time I hear that commercial, I will wonder if I'm dreaming, and to test that, I put my thumbs in my ears. If I still hear the commercial, I know I'm dreaming. And the second technique is I pick the word and, which is a commonly used word, and I meditated repeatedly thinking, and I might be dreaming now, so that I connected the words I might be dreaming now to that word in my mind, so that when I'm dreaming and use the word and, I start thinking I might be dreaming now.
All right,
so
well, these are subconscious
keys.
Can
I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The most popular way for finding out if you're lucid in your dreams is to look at your hand, which gives you back your volition. We are saying that looking at these hand letters in the order given in the Bible text enables you to wake up from this dream. That's the incarnation in the Elizabeth H. story with regard to the pyramid.
All right. Stan, one more time. I want you to give your address, your email address, and your website.
Right. The email address is meru1, M-E-R-U, Arabic numeral 1, no spaces, at well.com, C-O-M. That's meru1 at well.com. The website is www.meru.org, and the address is Meru Foundation, P.O. Box 503, and that's in Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, Mass, M-A, 02067, and we will send you an information pack. There's also a letter that discusses the codes that's up on the website, and there's a lot more material besides that, and there are videotapes available, including a short sampler, which we can make available to anyone who wants it.
All right. Well, it has been a pleasure. In the first hour, I thought, uh-oh, nobody's going to know what we're talking about, but we did get it out, and I do understand it, and it is indeed very profound, and I think you are not heretic.
Well, to some people, I may be, but the whole point is that we're a community of different beliefs, and we need to respect each other, and that's how we build an organic whole and live together.
Indeed.
That's what this is really about.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, too. It's been a pleasure.
Good night, Stan. That is Stan, or was Stan Tenen, and that was fascinating. Fascinating. If you suffer arthritis pain, listen to me for a moment, will you? The New York Times reported some groundbreaking research showing the nutrients glucosamine and chondroitin not only reduce the aches and pains in your joints, but like bricks that make up a house, there are large molecules in your body that make up cartilage, and that stands between the bones. Does that make sense? And then you don't have the pain. Now, Arthritis Assist contains glucosamine, chondroitin, and more. The formula is specifically designed to do one thing, reduce the pain in joints naturally. Let your joints repair themselves. Here is the offer. You order a 90-day supply of Arthritis Assist. With it, you get an odorless pain relief cream. And that provides immediate relief. So you get short-term and long-term relief. Arthritis Assist. It's worth going for, folks. You can't get it in a store. It's guaranteed to work or your money back. The number to call is 1-800-232-5665. Let me give that again. 1-800-232-5665. Tell them Art Bell sent you. It's from Great American Products. And we'll be right back. This, of course, is CBC.